All right, what's up, and welcome back for another episode of Cognizant and Cognizance, the podcast born out of recognizing the importance of the second stage of the mastery process, conscious incompetence. This is your host, Jim Perro, speaking, and every week I add a new chapter onto the anthological discussion on life, taking action, and the value of conscious thought. Join me and the occasional guest for a head-in-the-clouds perspective on how to stay grounded and win in all that you do. Enjoy! Okay, here we are. Today is September 5th. It's about 6:45 p.m. as we're starting here. And today, boy oh boy, we have got a football heavy episode for ya. Tonight is officially the first game of the 2019-2020 NFL season. Woo! I love it. I am incredibly excited for this, not just because I love NFL football, not just because I love the fall, but because these are the things that I have marked down on my calendar. You know, there are few things that I would rather spend my time doing from the month of September until February than watching football, whether it's college football, which started last Saturday, huge game for LSU coming up on this coming Saturday against Texas. That's a massive game. But in any case, football is just the best sport that America has to offer. Say what you want about soccer and in other countries and la-di-da-di-da. Football is the best sport to offer, or that America has to offer. And so today is a very football-heavy episode. I'm still going to read you my normal passage and such here. But even the thing that I learned this week is football-centric. And it's not really, it's not like a useful piece of knowledge or anything, but this is a revelation that I think almost anybody who follows popular sports media, they have had this same revelation as well. And so something I learned this week is that Antonio Brown is insane. The dude is certifiable at this point. He is off the charts, whack job, out of control, and individual, right? And so if you're not an NFL fan, just know this. This guy, Antonio Brown, is arguably one of the best professional football players in the history of professional football. This is the 100th season of professional football, by the way. It started in like 1919 or 1920. 1919, I think. So this is the 100th season. Out of all the players that have ever played in the 100 years of football, he is possibly, well, he is going to go down as one of the best football players in the history of the game, at least wide receivers. He is definitely the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. And so here's why I say he's kind of insane. So in the span of less than 1 year, he has not only destroyed an extremely profitable professional relationship with his former team and all the people who supported him and loved him there over some very silly things like, I don't know, cash, basically cash and attitude issues and adjustments, but now, and he won a Super Bowl there, but now he's also gotten into no less than 3 national scandals in the past month. And the third one, which happened on like Monday or Tuesday of this week, could potentially result in this man missing out on, wait for it, $30 million in his paycheck that he was promised through his contract, because his conduct was deemed detrimental to team operations, so he's eligible for a suspension, right? And so now he, just because he couldn't fit in and play nicely with others, this guy is now potentially out $30 million and unemployed. So going from the top, talk about going from the top of the world to the bottom of the tax bracket, right? Not really, because he's still fucking rich as hell, but that money is certainly going to his head, and I think a case like this, really, I guess the more important thing that I learned out of this is that this is proof that money does not buy you happiness, and it doesn't make up for shortcomings in other areas of your life by any stretch of the imagination. You give me $30 million, I'm not going to do anything outrageous or compromise my dignity as a human being, but for the most part, I'm going to do whatever you ask of me to earn that $30 million, right? To make it worthwhile for you to give me $30 million. Shit, you give me $100 to help you move, I'm going to help you move every goddamn piece of furniture out of your apartment and into the truck and then into your new house. Like, it's just do what you're paid to do, right? Do your thing. Just do the work. Get the job done, right? But this guy, $30 million wasn't enough to keep him in check, folks. And so, again, the more important revelation here, not that he's, you know, off his fucking gourd, absolute pistachios over here, but money just doesn't buy you happiness, and it doesn't make up for shortcomings in other areas of your life. Kind of plays into, this is going to be a short episode today, by the way, because I still need to go to the gym and get ready for an 8:20 kickoff, but today was an important episode, or today is an important episode, and it is a change in theme for the Daily Stoic today. We are at September 5th. Happy Labor Day, by the way. Hope Labor Day was fantastic for everybody. I had a nice long weekend. I got the day off tomorrow, so I'm back in Labor Day up with another long weekend. Got some cool shit going down for me this weekend. Yesterday was good. Yesterday was about testing yourself so you know your limits, but today is incredibly relevant given that the news was broken, and today's also the about Antonio Brown, and today's also the first day of the fantasy football season as well as the regular NFL season. Excuse me. So the theme for the month of September is fortitude and resilience, which is great. Great in the sense that this is exactly these are exactly the kind of messages that I need to be reading to myself right now and reminding myself of, as we head into fall and to kind of stay the course and continue on with the things that I've set in motion over the course of the year so far, and to finish strong, to push strong through the last, 4 months? Sorry. Yeah, last basically 4 months of 2019, have some intestinal fortitude, stay strong, and be persistent and push through. So September, the month of fortitude and resilience, and today's entry was to, the title is Focus on What Is Yours Alone, with a quote from Epictetus that goes like this. Remember then, if you deem what is by nature slavish to be free, and what is not your own to be yours, you will be shackled and miserable, blaming both gods and other people. But if you deem as your own only what is yours and what belongs to others is truly not yours, then no one will ever be able to coerce or stop you. You will find no one to blame or accuse. You will do nothing against your will, you will have no enemy, no one will harm you, because no harm can affect you. So, furthermore, after Captain James Stockdale was shot down over Vietnam, he endured 7.5 years in various prison camps. He was subjected to brutal torture, but always struggled to resist. Once, when his captors intended to force him to appear in a propaganda video, he purposely and severely injured himself to make that impossible. When Stockdale's plane was hit 7 years previously, he told himself he was entering the world of Epictetus. He didn't mean that he was attending a philosophy seminar in any way. He knew what he was about to face when he crash landed, and he knew it wouldn't be easy to survive. Interviewed by Jim Collins for the business classic Good to Great, Stockdale explained there was one group that had the most trouble in the prison. It was the optimists, he said, the ones who said, "We're going to be out by Christmas." Christmas would come, and then Christmas would go, and they'd say, "We'll be out by Easter." And then Easter would come, and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving, and then it would be Christmas again, and sooner or later they died of a broken heart. But Stockdale persevered and did make it out. He quenched his desire and focused exclusively on what he did control. Himself. So, kind of dark, right? Kind of a dark thing to transition from fantasy football to talking about Vietnamese prison camps in the 60s to now talking about this shit as well. Kind of dark, right? But let's turn on a more positive up note here, because I think what many folks who read that passage, and I'm sure you're probably thinking right now, is like, well, what's wrong with being an optimist? I'm an optimist. I consider myself, you know, a look on the bright side type of guy or type of gal. And, you know, most of the time, so do I, right? Optimism is in no way, shape, or form or stretch of the imagination a bad thing. In most cases, it's a really good thing, right? Positive thoughts and positive self-talk and reassuring yourself that things will work out as long as you do what you need to do, they help reinforce a positive mood, and for some people, they often motivate you, right? And so the problem is, with optimism, like Stockdale was pointing out in a much more dreary sense of the imagination than I'm going to, optimism often leads to disappointment, right? Things don't always fall into place. They don't always work out. They don't always, you know, turn out for the best. But I think conversely, something that's really important is they don't always fall out of place either. You know, they don't always, the worst case scenario is not always the first case scenario, I guess is the best way to put it, right? Sorry. Anyway, so yeah, it's not always the worst case scenario that happens either. I think it's the scenario that's somewhere in between the worst case scenario and the best case scenario, which is often reality, right? It's not always exactly how you wanted things to happen, but it's rarely everything that you thought went wrong could go wrong. It's somewhere in the middle. You get a little positive, but a few things don't go your way, right? And I think that Stockdale was trying to say here was, it's the people who find themselves in the middle. They deal with the reality as much as possible, you know, hoping for the best, prepared for the worst, to to paraphrase the best rapper alive. It's those people who find the easiest time dealing with the negative consequences of life and the shitty things that happen, and then also they find it easiest and find the most joy in the positives when they happen in spite of the odds, right? In spite of all the preparation they've done for the negative, things work out anyway, and then they realize, wow, cool, that's great. It's even better than I could have imagined. And so, where am I going with this, right? Talking about prison camps and optimism, and so, and then I'm talking about football as well. And so I'm going to kind of conflate them all here, right? Which is no disrespect to anyone who's ever been a prisoner of war whatsoever. But this is more of a, it's more of a worldview analysis than a prison camp analysis, because I've never been to war. I'll never go to war. And I don't ever plan on being a prisoner of war either. So how does Stockdale's attitude in a Vietnamese prison camp conflate to football? It really doesn't, right? It really doesn't, but it conflates, it works well with life, right? If you take the attitudes that he was able to use to get through the shitty things that, like, he's being tortured brutally for 7 years in a prison camp, if the attitude of find the middle ground and stay realistic, recognize that you will eventually get through this, but you're not going to get through it tomorrow by the grace of God, that attitude and that mindset, if it can get him through a prison camp, it can get you through any challenge that you need in life, right? And so you boil it down to not necessarily a prescription, but a something to strive for, right? This is not something that everybody can just kick into gear, but it's a piece of conscious thought or a mantra that we should all maybe adopt to kind of focus more on finding that middle ground, the middle pathway there. And so this, I think, is never more, at least at now this time of year, I'm using this analogy, it's never more applicable than during football season, which is, again, just a completely ridiculous thing to say, but that's what I'm here to do, is be ridiculous and annoying. But for me personally, I'm a realist for sure. I don't really give a shit whether the glass is half full or half empty, but just recognizing, you know, somebody probably didn't wash that glass well enough, and now you're drinking water out of a dirty glass. Like, you're drinking water one way or the other. You just need to recognize that it's probably tap water, and that's totally fine, because water is water, right? But so, on the topic of football again, since tonight is, you know, the first night of the NFL season, and I'm pretty much as jacked up as I'm gonna be, right? And everybody I know is excited. I'm just gonna preface this by saying I am in three fantasy leagues this year. One of which is with some of my close friends from high school. Another is with a decent mix, about probably 30 or 40% friends that I know from high school and just random people that they know or I know. And then I'm in a team, I'm sharing a team with someone in a league with like a couple of, one of our friends' dads and like all his high school friends. This league's been going on since before I was born. But anyway, the point I'm making here is that for fantasy football, the exact same lesson applies, which is to simultaneously manage expectations while uncovering the potential for a positive outcome in seemingly dire or hopeless circumstances, right? And so this is something that I use in, I've used many other times in other situations throughout my life. I mean, I talked about this fairly recently. Just, you know, shit goes down. I've lost a parent in the past, like, 5 years. Through you know, cancer and all that fun jazz, which was, like, a 2-year process. And at the end of the day, like, I wasn't imagining through that, hey, you know, this is going to be over tomorrow. I'm going to wake up and be totally cured. But at the end of the day, I was thinking, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get through this, and we're going to come out on the other side, right? And so that, I think, is a more intense and valid application of the attitude, but for the next 6 months, I'm going to be applying it to a fantasy football game. And that's, again, simultaneously managing expectations while uncovering talent, in this case, or potential for a positive outcome that other people may not see, or maybe without actually managing your expectations, you may not have even been able to see, right? I think fantasy football is, you know, in an increasingly social media and application focused world, fantasy football is the modern day allegory for decision making, right? It's directly analogous to the way that we make decisions about our life. If you take your different balls that you have up in the air, so to speak, if you're juggling a lot of things in life, what are you doing? You're constantly evaluating the potential for this scenario to work out. You're evaluating the obstacles. You're evaluating, you know, in some cases, if you're competing for something with someone else, you're evaluating, okay, how do my approaches stack up with their approaches, and how can I counteract the advantages they may have over me and capitalize on mine, right? Perfect modern day allegory for the decision-making process in our lives. Right here in front of our faces, literally on our smartphones, in front of our faces, all we need to do is open our eyes. And I think the most curious thing about fantasy football for me is that it has an uncanny way of holding up a mirror to your worldview, right? The way that you behave in a fantasy football league, interacting with the players you drafted, the players you want, the people, the other teams in your league, if you need to make a trade, you know, when you want to, you're looking for advice or you're looking for some help with a decision, who you go to, what resources you use, how creative you get in, you know, synthesizing all the information that you gather. It's a direct reflection of, I think, your worldview, right? And it forces you to blend the three most common worldviews if you're really paying attention, which I think are pessimism, optimism, and realism. The glass half empty, the glass half full, and oh shit, there's piss in this glass. And I'll tell you why, which doesn't really seem like it's even related, right? But I think, so for fantasy football, as in life, it requires you to maybe not necessarily embrace pessimism, but to acknowledge the benefits of pessimism. Because if you jump on the first player with the highest projection in fantasy without considering, you know, their injury and who they're playing and how the game is going to go and how they'll be used in the course of a game, many excuse me, many times you're going to get burned for it. You're often wrong and you pay for it, right? You know, same thing in life. If you go into every situation just thinking, oh yeah, nothing could go wrong. It looks good on the surface and this looks like a good deal. I'll make that deal. You're going to get screwed a lot. You're going to get taken advantage of and you know, you may not always be better off for it without a dose of pessimism in your decision-making process, right? It also requires a good grasp on optimism and to employ optimism to a certain degree, right? You want, in fantasy, you want to accurately evaluate players as much as possible and determine what they have called, how much of they have of what's called upside, meaning potential benefit to using this player and playing them. You want to accurately draft your sleeper picks, right? People that, players that nobody really expects much from, but you see them and you think, oh yeah, that could be good. You know, I've done the evaluation. I know, you know, what the depth chart looks like ahead of him and the schedule looks like and the injuries that are happening on the team and his skill set based on the offense and all this other shit, right? And it requires a little bit of optimism in order to maintain the confidence to start a player that, you know, nobody else really knows about or cares about. And then last but not least here, and I think most importantly, it requires realism to see through the rose-colored glasses that analysts often wear, you know, when they're making projections and recommendations about players. So you want to see through their bullshit. Some of them may have just skin in the game in terms of boosting one player or another, but it's also good to recognize when they're being unreasonable about low expectations and recognizing, hey, you know what? No, I think they're wrong there. And I guess through all of that, what you get, and I think what some of the best players, at least that I've played against, and you know, I've won my main fantasy league once, but there's some people who've won it a couple times, and I think the thing that they share, other than, you know, being completely obsessed with sports to a degree that sometimes I can't even comprehend, is that a healthy blend of these three, pessimism, optimism, and realism, all kind of bundled into one in the ability to kind of make those educated guesses about players, right? The ability to make up their own mind and, you know, the ability to trust their own judgment, that's something that's incredibly important, not just in fantasy football, but in life, right? The toughest thing to deal with in fantasy, just as in life, is when, you know, your decisions don't pan out and, you know, something doesn't turn out how you expected it to, or, you know, you make the wrong decision, you don't invest in a stock that you should have, or you don't, you know, you don't do that, work on that project at work as much as you should have, and it backfires on you, right? You know, you don't maintain the relationships with your family that you should, and you make the conscious decision not to, and it ends up hurting you in the long run, right? But in the end, you can't go back and change it, right? You can't go back and change what happened on the field, can you? You can't go back and change who you played and who you started in your lineup once the lineup is locked and the game starts, right? No, you sure can't. What's done is done, and at the end of the day, the more that you obsess over the outcome and the more you obsess over, you know, why didn't they run the ball there? Why didn't they throw it to my guy here? The more you obsess over those things, the more it frustrates you, right? And so the most important thing, I guess, not only in fantasy football, but in a broader sense in life, is to focus on the things that are explicitly under your control. Putting your best foot forward in the areas that you have influence. And like in Stockdale's case, knowing that he doesn't want to go on television as a piece of propaganda, so he messes his face up and he has to go to the infirmary so he doesn't die, right? Knowing that I have control over how this situation goes, so I'm going to exercise my control to the fullest. I'm going to focus my attention on the areas that I have influence instead of worrying about the areas where I can't do anything, you know? He wasn't too optimistic. He wasn't too pessimistic. Both of those things would have made it really hard. But to maintain that middle path and to recognize that it doesn't matter what the glass is full of, as long as you recognize that the glass is there and you have the choice to do what you want to do with that glass. You can drink it, knock it over, or leave it alone. But at the end of the day, the important piece is that you recognize it's there. So after all of that, Nice little rant. I will bid you adieu tonight. Again, first week of the NFL season. Dun 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 dun. I'm gonna go hit the gym. I'm gonna watch that, and then I am gonna enjoy my weekend. And I hope you do the same. Peace.